it is one of the things that Iran will do. And granted, it will hurt the Iranian economy, but it's going to shut down the world economy. In 1973, during the Arab oil embargo, they shut off, I think, 6 or 7% of the world's oil supply, and the price of oil quadrupled. Price of oil right now is about 60 bucks a barrel. Could it quadruple? Absolutely. If it quadruples, you will see nobody on the road. You'll see businesses shutting down.
Bob Moriarty, how are you, my friend?
I'm very sad.
Yeah, well, I'm assuming that's about the what's happened the other night. Let's talk about that. Are we on the brink of World War III, or are we in World War III right now?
We are in World War III. It has started.
Yeah, this is sad and very concerning, to say the least. Work that out for me. What happened and what's going on? And talk to me about progression from here.
Netanyahu started warning the world about an imminent nuclear weapon program in Iran 32 years ago, and we were told that it was imminent, and they were on the verge of having nuclear weapons, and they would blow up the world. It is part of the Zionist religious belief that it's perfectly okay to lie, and Netanyahu lies about everything. If you fast forward 32 years, it was 93 to now.
32 years.
32 years, yeah, okay. He's started getting really shrill. And the interesting thing is that they've admitted already that the nuances of the attack on Iran were in place years ago. They did things, they set up in exactly the same way they did with the beepers, okay? Israel cannot get along with its neighbors. It is a cancer in the Middle East. It is run by evil people. And any discussion of Israel that doesn't have the word genocide included on a fairly regular basis is not the truth. Now, I was an intelligence officer, and I was in war, and you know I like to ask questions. I'm going to ask a question. If you're the head of a nation that has 9 million people, and you have the same weapons available to you that Israel does, and you want to destroy a nation of 90 million people, how do you do it?
You threaten nuclear war, you attack them with nuclear weapons.
Exactly. This is going to go nuclear. And the strange thing is, Netanyahu admits it. He's come out with a piece and said that if Israel fails, and it's going to, if Israel falls, that many other countries will. That's the Samson alternative, that like a scorpion, when Israel is about to die, they kill as many people around them as possible. When I say it's a cancer, it has nothing to do with religion. These are evil people bent on evil deeds. And all you have to do is look at what they've done in Gaza and Syria and Lebanon and Iraq and Libya. Do you remember the discussion that Wesley Clark had back in 2001 about the seven nations that the United States was going to attack in 5 years?
Vaguely, but tell me about it.
Okay. Wesley Clark, of course, was an American general, and he went to the Pentagon and he was talking to one of the people who had worked for him when he was still in office. And the guy said, "General, these people are doing some strange things. They intend to attack seven countries in 5 years. They're going to attack Iraq. They're going to attack Syria. They're going to attack Lebanon. They're going to attack Libya. They're going to attack Somalia. They're going to attack Sudan. And finally, they're going to attack Iran." You know, this just came down from the Secretary of Defense. And the strange thing is, I mean, here's what people need to understand. The attack on Iran has nothing to do with Iran and anything that Iran has done. Okay. This attack was planned 24 years ago, at least, and it's evil. Okay. So we either continue to have meaningless war after meaningless war after meaningless war, or somebody steps up to the plate and says, "We got to stop this stupidity." I believe the chances of this going nuclear are exceptionally high. As effective as the attack on Iran was, and from a military point of view, even though it's illegal, it was an effective attack. Iran still has the ability to defend itself, and it still has the ability to have offensive war against Israel. You can count on Dimona being attacked. You can count on the airfields that these airplanes left from being attacked. You can count on the Strait of Hormuz being closed. You can count on other Middle East countries getting involved. North Korea has already said that they will fight on behalf of Iran, and both Russia and China have said they're not going to allow Iran to be destroyed.
So, is this coming from Trump, or is this coming from the deep state, the CIA? Who's instigating this? Obviously, we're supporting this, but work that out for me. It seems to me that this is the military-industrial complex that wants another war.
No. Netanyahu. If Netanyahu is removed as prime minister of Israel, he's going to jail, okay? He's corrupt. There's no question about it. People have known about it for years. He's actually in trial now, and he's going to jail. And Benjamin Netanyahu will destroy Israel gladly if it keeps him out of jail. So it's Netanyahu. There's no question whatsoever. We need to stop pretending that the United States is an independent country. We need to stop pretending that Donald Trump is the most important leader in the United States. We're run by Israel, by AIPAC. We've been infiltrated. They control Congress. They bought Congress. They bought the Senate. And anything they want, they get. And this whole thing with Donald Trump and with Rubio and Huckleberry, this is a game they're playing. Donald Trump Donald Trump practices his opera every day, and he watches The Godfather three times a night, and he acts like The Godfather. It's really funny because Rubio has been trying to pretend the United States had nothing to do with this attack. Of course, the United States had to do this. attack, at the very least providing intelligence information, refueling aircraft, etc. The UK was involved providing refueling aircraft. It was a very difficult mission to fly from Israel because it requires a 1,000-mile trip, which is very difficult. I flew the F-4 and we couldn't fly 1,000-mile trips. So everybody's involved. The military industrial complex, the Zionists, Benjamin Netanyahu, Trump. But at the center, at the heart, is Benjamin Netanyahu and his desire to stay out of prison. And frankly, he doesn't give a damn about Israel, about the hostages, about Hamas, or Donald Trump.
Yeah. So what, because this seems highly unlikely, well, if it hasn't already, split into a regional war, what other countries will be pulled into this? I say that because Trump was just over in Saudi, two, 3 weeks ago, to a hero's royal welcome, if you would. What do you think that was discussed with the Saudis? And I know Saudi is not particularly fond of Iran either. But I guess really the question is, who does this also going to suck in that area?
I believe it's going to grab everybody. I believe this will turn into a world war because there's no alternative. After seeing the attack on the Russian nuclear triad a week ago, and after seeing Trump pretending he was negotiating with Iran, China and Russia are going to look at the United States and say, these guys are just like Israel. They lie about everything. Everything is deceitful. Everything is a game. You can't trust them. You can make an agreement with them and they'll turn around and violate it tomorrow. So the attack was deliberate. It was planned for years. The United States knew all about it. The United States absolutely would have participated in it. And they can pretend they had nothing to do with it. But the only people who will believe that are people who are truly stupid.
Yeah. So does this going to suck in Russia and China? And I say that because of the full Ukraine conflict or war, let's call it what it is, going on. It seems like I don't see Ukraine have any options. And so it seems like peace one way or another would be inevitable. So it needs, I guess what I'm getting at, it seems like they're digging up another war, that they need another war, and this is it.
Well, let me point something out. What was the news last weekend and Monday?
Tell me about it. I'm trying
to. If you went to CNN, what did you read about?
Tell me about it.
Riots in California.
Yeah, in right. LA. Yeah.
Okay, that was the big news. What is happening in Washington, D.C. tomorrow?
Tell me about it.
Trump's triumph.
Yeah, right.
Okay, just like the Roman emperors, okay? And I'm going to tell you something. I because I read so much, I pick up a lot of factoids that most people don't know. When the emperor was riding his chariot through the streets of Rome, he had somebody, a slave, next to him whispering in his ear. What did the slave say?
Tell me.
Thou art not God. It's strange enough, we need somebody whispering in Trump's ears because he thinks he's God. And I'm going to tell you, the U.S. military, Donald Trump, NATO, Benjamin Netanyahu, the IDF have totally misread this. Okay, where does China get its oil?
The Middle East, the Russia.
No.
Russia?
Iran.
Iran. Yes.
Okay. So One of the things that you learn if you've ever been in war, and it's very important, two things actually. I graduated from flight training in December of 1966. I go to Cherry Point. I'm in an F-4 squadron. I spent 18 months in the squadron, and we trained, and we trained, and we trained, and we trained. We had big, thick manuals, so we literally had to memorize. We had to be able to call up any fact in the manual. When you get into combat and the first bullet flies, what is that manual good for?
Nothing.
No, it actually, there's a very real value to it.
Tell me.
You lift your butt up and you light it under your butt and it raises you about 2 inches. Okay. For a little guy like me, that 2 inches makes quite a difference. The key is you can plan all you want to. When that first bullet flies, throw the manual away. Okay. Because it's no good to you. Okay, so in this 18 months that I was going through training, we were talking about all the neat, nasty, dirty things we were going to do to the enemy. Can you accept that?
Did I accept that you were guys talking about it?
Yeah. Planning, thinking, talking about it.
Sure.
Of course.
Yes. Of course.
What was the enemy doing?
Probably the same thing.
The same thing. Okay. So when you go into combat, you need to understand all these really slick moves that you've got planned. Your enemy's got just as many, maybe more slick moves up his sleeve. So combat is so unpredictable. And what I will say about war, and I enlisted in the Marine Corps in September of 1964. And the Gulf of Tonkin incident had occurred exactly a month before, okay? So that war really started in 1954, the American involvement, and it went on until 1975. Wars are really easy to start, and they're really hard to end. And as intelligent as Jews are overall, and they are intelligent people, they're stupid when it comes to thinking about history. You cannot be at war constantly without eventually running into somebody who kicks your ass. Okay, who's winning the war between Israel and the Houthis?
I'm going to take a guess here, the Houthis.
The Houthis, absolutely. These guys are running around in sandals and turbans, and they're kicking the shit out of Israel. Okay, so all of these plans, you can take these plans and throw them out the window. Israel is not going to defeat Iran and Russia and China. Israel and the United States are not going to defeat Russia, China, and Iran. It was stupid in the first place to do it. There was a really simple solution. Donald Trump could have had the Nobel Peace Prize in his first 17 days, exactly the same way that Obama did. All he had to do was not start any wars. And he's sitting here, he got elected saying, I'm going to end the war in Ukraine in 24 hours. He could have done it. All he had to do was make one phone call. Say, Zelensky, we're not pimping you out anymore. We're not paying for any more of your drugs. You need to take all the money you've stolen and go live in Grand Cayman. He could have done that. He could have stopped Netanyahu in its tracks. And literally in the last few days, Donald Trump has come out and said, I have told Israel not to attack Iran. Well, he was lying, and he was lying deliberately. So there's where we are. It's bad, and it's going to get a whole lot worse.
Okay, so how do you see this playing out over the next several months here? Obviously, I mean, I don't want to say the obvious answer is Iran striking back, but...
Well, what's the most catastrophic thing Iran could do to the world economy?
Oh, it shut off oil.
Bingo. Okay. And what is the chance of them closing the Strait of Hormuz?
Very high.
Right now, they're looking around for a Girl Scout troop. Okay, the leadership, because they've had a lot of senior generals killed, and they're looking around for a Girl Scout troop. They need a Girl Scout troop with about 15 girls in it, and they're going to equip them with half a dozen bows and arrows and some slingshots, and they're going to close the Strait of Hormuz. 15 girls in a Girl Scout troop could close the Strait of Hormuz. It's going to happen. The chance is not 100%. It's just 99.99%. It is one of the things that Iran will do. And granted, it will hurt the Iranian economy, but it's going to shut down the world economy. In 1973, during the Arab oil embargo, they shut off, I think, 6 or 7% of the world's oil supply, and the price of oil quadrupled. Price of oil right now is about 60 bucks a barrel. Could it quadruple? Absolutely. If it quadruples, you will see nobody on the road. You'll see businesses shutting down. You'll see people starving. You'll see people freezing in their homes in the winter. And that's just for start. Let me give you an example of unintended consequences. There's somebody that I do an interview with, and he's farming related. There is a panic in the American farming industry right now because the Mexicans are pissed off at Donald Trump and the tariffs for very real reason. So when farming equipment gets to the border, okay, that's coming to the United States, they just sit on it. Now, what is the most critical period for a farmer in a year?
Spring.
Why?
Because they're planting.
Thank you. So once you have gone past planting season and you've got all the equipment you want, how does the equipment help you? It doesn't.
It doesn't.
When planting season is over, you're screwed. Donald Trump has started things because he negotiates with the baseball bat. And nobody ever thought about the unintended consequences. And the United States farmers are being decimated because they can't get the equipment they bought and paid for months ago. So the same thing is going to happen with Iran. Israel can think about all these tactical victories. Do you understand the difference between a tactical victory and a strategic victory?
Tactical is shorter term?
No, it's not necessarily shorter term. It's the objective that's important. Okay. I was in the Marine Corps, and, you know, there's a hill up there, and there's a bunch of bad guys on the hills. Let's go kill them and take the hill. That is tactical operation. Strategic is, what do we have to do to win this war?
Right.
Now, again, because I read so much, I pick up a lot of information that most people wouldn't. What was the net effect of the U.S. and British bombing campaign on Germany during World War II?
I would say not very high, because Russia came in and took everything over and put all the pressure on Germany. That would be what I would tell you.
Well, that's part of it. But the strange thing is, and the British did a study on this after the war because they wanted to justify the use of air power. And they concluded that it made the war last longer.
Yeah.
Because it stiffened the spine of the Germans. Now, this is an unprovoked attack on Iran What is the justification the United States and Israel are using for attacking Iran? Why did they attack Iran?
Nuclear capability.
They have no nuclear capability.
Right.
And Tulsi Gabbard came out 2 weeks ago and said Iran does not have a nuclear weapons program. So Israel's sitting there whining about, well, we're threatened because of their nuclear weapons program, so we're going to nuke them. There is no nuclear weapons program. The United States knows it. 18 U.S. government intelligence agencies know it. Head of the NSA knows it. Iran certainly knows it. They don't need a nuclear weapons program. That would be the worst thing in the world. Okay. Mm-hmm. So we're attacking Iran on the basis of something that doesn't exist.
Yeah. I would agree with you. Work out a little bit more. Again, we mentioned Russia and China. Are they going to get sucked into this, you think?
100%. Okay, now the real issue is how much they're going to get sucked into it. Now, let me point something out to you. And I've been at combat, spent a lot of time at combat, and as much as any American on active duty, I understand combat. Iran has actually been very reserved in threats towards Israel and actions towards Israel when they would have been absolutely legally justified in a preemptive attack on Israel. What do you suppose Russia's position was when they talked to Iran? What'd they tell Iran to do?
Stand down.
Thank you. Bingo. It's that easy. Do not attack Israel, because if you do, you're giving justification to Israel and the United States to attack you, and they really do want to nuke you. The voice of reason in this war, and it is World War III, has not been the United States, has not been Israel, it's been Russia, and almost certainly China. Okay, because believe me, these guys are talking all the time. So Russia, likewise, for 2 years, okay, in Ukraine, been very reserved. When they attacked Ukraine in February of 2022, they only did it with 90,000 troops. That's nothing, okay? Almost nothing. That's a small force, because they understood that all I had to do is send a message to Zelensky, okay, we're going to kill a lot of your people if you continue this. Russia won the war in Ukraine in the first month.
Mm-hmm. I would agree.
Ukraine and Russia sat down in Istanbul, and they came up with a peace agreement that effectively said, we're going to honor the Minsk II agreement that we've been cheating on for years. Okay, because we want defensible borders. And then the UK and the United States sent Boris Johnson in. Boris Johnson said, wait a minute, you can steal a lot more money. You know, you got to keep going. So there have been 1.5 million dead Ukrainian young men fighting for nothing. And it has gotten so evil. And the news media in the West is so biased, and it lies so much. There were 6,000 dead Ukrainians that the Russians had in tractor trailers, refrigerated tractor trailers, that they were going to give to the Ukrainians. And the Ukrainians refused them. You know why?
Why?
According to Ukrainian law, okay, if your husband or your boyfriend or your father is killed in combat, the family is paid a sum of money. And since Ukraine hasn't got any money, they wouldn't even pay to have the dead soldiers come back. And all of the Ukrainian commanders are pretending that people went AWOL when they're sitting in a refrigerated truck, and Ukraine won't even take their own dead soldiers back.
Yeah. Wow. Well, and this is really impossible to ask, but I'm going to ask it anyways, or I should say impossible to answer, but I'm going to ask it anyways. The next step here, what's your expectation on the next step?
Well, the one thing that I'm extremely confident in is the Strait of Hormuz will be closed. Other than that, I just simply can't predict it. This is like a butterfly in Mexico flapping its wings.
Yeah.
Causes a typhoon in Japan. There are so many variables that you just cannot predict what's going to happen. I can predict the beginning. I can predict something that's so simple to predict, like closing the Strait of Hormuz. I can predict the end. I just can't predict how we get there.
Right. And you mentioned the butterfly effect. I mean, just even on the U.S. economy, everything from higher or much significantly higher oil prices, just to additional expense and manpower. I mean, the list goes on and on and on.
You failed to mention the most important one.
What's that?
Okay. The riots in L.A., were they one-off?
No, they're spreading.
Okay. Is there a group behind the riots that are occurring all over the United States right now?
Well, I've read and heard that it was Soros.
Okay. Somebody had to do it. Okay. Yeah. Soros hates the United States. And he said for years he'd like to see the United States destroyed. And Donald Trump thinks it's a great idea because it gives him a chance to unleash the U.S. military on the people doing the rioting. But I did an interview when L.A. was the only city that had problems. And I said that if it spread, it was organized. And I can easily believe George Soros and perhaps even Bill Gates behind it. Do you remember the Deagle report?
No.
Okay, the Deagle report was put out by an organization that has connections to the CIA. And they came out in 2017, and they said effectively, I'm going to get you the number. I've got my hard drive. Let's see, where is it? It said that the population of the United States would go from 350 million to, I think, 90 million by 2025. Okay, I found it. Okay, this came out in 2017. And in 2017, the population of the United States was 327 million. And the forecast for 2025 was lower than 100 million. There are two things that could lower the population. What are they?
Natural disaster and war, that's what I would say. And lower birth rates.
What kind of natural disaster?
Use your imagination.
Snowstorm, flood,
yeah.
No. Come on. How many people are killed by a hurricane? You know, if you have a few hundred, that's a lot.
Maybe a few hundred.
Fires, no big deal. There is a disaster. It's not a natural disaster. It's an unnatural disaster that could reduce the U.S. population. How many Americans of the 327 million took the jab?
Right. Okay. Yeah.
That there are thousands of reports now, studies. There is no question whatsoever. COVID was a bad flu. It was created by the United States. It was biowarfare. And the purpose of COVID was to give control to the government and develop a bioweapon in the form of vaccines that were designed to kill people. Okay. And hundreds of thousands, perhaps millions, have died as a result. And there's some really scary things. The Japanese have done some really incredible research into it. And they're coming up with studies that say 30 or 40% of the people who took the jabs have blood disorders that could be deadly. And it's something, it's entirely possible that's something that could be triggered. Okay. Now, I can tell you that these riots and the Trump triumph and the attack on Israel all taking place at exactly the same time, that couldn't possibly be a coincidence. And there's something bizarre about the Daigle report. What would take the U.S. population, 327 million to under 100 million, it would almost certainly have to be either some kind of bio warfare, which we've had, and or a nuclear exchange.
Yeah, that is incredibly frightening.
So. It is, but if you study the oligarchs to a man, all of those big organizations, the Bilderbergers, the Club of Rome, those people all believe population has to be reduced, and the best way to do it is to kill a bunch of people.
Yeah, that's terrible. Well, yeah, it's really sad news what we're seeing and up against right now. And when I say we as humanity, as people, and I really don't know what to do other than sit tight, watch and listen and try to get information.
Well, strange enough, there is stuff that you can do. If you have been forewarned, for example, that the Strait of Hormuz is going to be cut off and the price of oil is going to go up substantially, filling your vehicles would be a good thing to do. Having a month's supply of food and water would be a prudent thing to do. Having a month's supply of cash would be a prudent thing to do. The one thing that I'm going to say is I'm absolutely confident there are changes that we can't even predict today. Many of those changes are going to be negative. But if you want to sit and wait for the mainstream media to tell the truth or the government to tell the truth, hell's going to freeze over first, okay? Everything you're told by the government is a lie. 9/11 was a lie. The great financial collapse in 2008 was a lie. COVID was a lie. Zelensky in Ukraine was a lie. And absolutely. I mean, they're starting the World War III off with the biggest lie in history, that somehow Iran was the aggressor when Israel's been the aggressor for 100 years. So I don't know what's going to happen, but it's a good time to be prepared.
Yeah, and a good time to listen to you and talk to you and like-minded people. Bob, that's why I have you on. I wanted straight and give it to me and our audience straight, so I thank you for that. Love to have you on again as needed. And you've always been very gracious to me. And on a moment's notice, if I need to talk to you, you're very accommodating. So I want to thank you for that.
Thank you. I don't like doing this. I don't like what I've got to say, but I believe it's accurate. Quite bluntly, you and I have talked for the last month or two about a pending war. We just didn't know whether it would be over Ukraine or whether it would be over Iran, but it's here. And there's some scary stuff. Who knows what the North Koreans are going to do? Who knows what the Chinese are going to do? So it's a scary time, but it's a good time to educate yourself and listen to people and learn to think for yourself.
Yeah, I will absolutely agree and second that. Bob, you are a very busy guy. Thank you for your time. And I'll reach out probably in a couple of days. I hope not to reach out in a couple of days as things progress.
Okay, my friend.
Thank you, my friend.
I would say have a good weekend, but frankly, what Trump is doing tomorrow, we could be in a revolution in the United States. I mean, we didn't even talk about that. But this could be the start of a revolution. There are people who want to destroy the United States, and I fear they are succeeding.
Yeah, I'm fearful that for that as well. Bob Moriarty, 321 Gold, thank you again for your time, and we'll be talking to you very soon.
Super deal. Thank you.